You can turn in your Bibles then to Mark chapter 16 will be our morning scripture today. And this chapter gives us the reason why we do this good thing. Why are we glad today? It's because of the things here in Mark 16. Let's read the Word of God. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him," that is Jesus, "who was buried. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.' So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen." Father, now as we have considered your word and the reason for our rejoicing today, we just ask again that you would bless us and bless particularly those who are coming forward today. And we pray that you would speak to all of our hearts through your word and through your encouragement to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, I am indeed very glad to be arriving at this point. Today is a momentous day, perhaps more than you know right at present. Something supernatural is going to happen today. Why this proceeding? Why should we divert from our regular Sunday morning routine and come up here and do this? Isn't this just a ceremony? Is it a formality? It is much more than a formality. The scripture says in 1 Peter that baptism saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, when there is, or because there is, the pledge of a good conscience toward God. Okay? The Lord Jesus said, "Go into the world, preach the good news of a crucified and risen Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Okay? God's grace manifested towards sinners. Preach that to every creature, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. I want to call your attention to Acts chapter 2, Peter on the day of Pentecost. He preached his first great sermon. He proclaimed that same Jesus, which that crowd in Jerusalem had recently called for the Lord's crucifixion, that same Jesus had been vindicated by God, had been raised from the dead, and that it was he whom God made both Lord of all and Messiah and Judge. He's the coming King. He's the promised Son of David to whom the promises belong. And that crowd, convicted of that terrible crime, killing the Lord, killing the Messiah, verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart regarding the wrath of God that surely must lay upon them for committing this crime. They said, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter's response, extending to them the marvelous grace of God towards sinful people, said to them, what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Saul of Tarsus also, our friend Paul, Saul, struck blind by the Lord on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians there, had to be led by the hand, blind into the city, encountered the Lord Jesus himself, spent 3 days blind, convicted of his error, knew then that the Lord Jesus, whose loved ones he had been persecuting, was indeed God's chosen Messiah, was the Savior. And the disciple Ananias was sent to him to lay hands on him to restore his sight. And he says to Paul, and now what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, friends, we have these five young people who have heard the message of God's offer of pardon, salvation, everlasting life in Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified for them, whom God raised from the dead. They have heard the message. They have believed on the Son of God. And today they come into the Lord's house, into the presence of God. They come to God to confess Jesus Christ as their Savior and to receive cleansing from sin. They come forward to bury the old self, to be raised to newness of life, and to pledge themselves to the Lord Jesus, and to receive, as we read in Acts, the precious gift of God's Holy Spirit, who is the seal of eternal life. Now, you five in particular, I'm pretty much talking to you, but what I say also is for all of you who are here. Why are we baptizing? We baptize so that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit is given to those who confess the Lord Jesus and who believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead. Now, the New Testament does not portray saving faith and the coming of the Holy Spirit apart from baptism. Okay, let me say that again. The New Testament does not portray saving faith and the gift of the Holy Spirit apart from baptism. There is one case in Acts chapter 10 where the Holy Spirit descends on some people before they are baptized, but that is a special case, and the people were baptized immediately afterward. Okay, I'm talking about Cornelius' family in Acts chapter 10. The thief on the cross, by the way, does not count. The thief on the cross died before the Great Commission was given. Okay, the New Testament baptism that, as Peter said, saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that was not yet a thing when the thief on the cross died, because Christ was not yet raised from the dead. That new covenant salvation was not yet being proclaimed. Now it is. Okay, after he had risen, we read in Mark chapter 16, after he had risen, he said to the disciples, go into all the world, preach the good news to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, we know that a person is justified on the basis of his faith, his or her faith in Jesus Christ. You must believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord of all creation, as the Son of God. He is the only mediator between God and man. You must come to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The scripture says that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That person remains in death. And apart from your believing in Jesus Christ as your own Savior and Lord, baptism is useless. Okay? But God has appointed this. He has appointed baptism for those who indeed come to saving faith. It's repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, are we convinced? Baptism is no mere formality. Baptism is a public, visible act whereby each of you five will confess the Lord Jesus, declare your trust in him to take away your sins, which his death on the cross accomplished for you. You pledge to receive him as Lord of your own life from this day forward. You show your commitment to follow him, to obey him, and to join yourselves to this great assembly, the Church of God. Confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and follow him in baptism. Today, a transaction is taking place between you and God Almighty. God has shown you, each of you, very great favor in putting you in the life situation that you're in. Consider this. You are in a life situation where you have heard God's truth about his Son. You have heard the call to repentance and purity. You live in a time and place where you can receive instruction in the things of everlasting life. You are privileged to have a church family who loves you. They will pray for you. They will help you. They will comfort you. They will instruct you. They will strengthen you. God's blessings are very many and very precious. His mercy is very great. Okay? Christians, we ought to all be very thankful that God has placed us in the time and place in which we live. He has revealed himself to us through the teaching of his word. He has shown us the way to life. He has promised us all of the blessings that accompany holiness. You five, as each of you comes forward and enters the water of regeneration, I lay some charges upon you. So hear me, this is not the end of your journey in the Lord. This is the beginning, okay? It is the end of a former journey. It's the end of an old life. It's the end of a former life. It's the beginning of a new life indwelt by and empowered by the very Spirit of Almighty God. So I have one charge for you for today, and then the others are for the future, for days to come. The charge for today is this. Pledge a good conscience toward God. Pledge a good conscience toward God. Today's act of baptism is every bit as solemn as a wedding vow. More so, probably. Okay? Today you make an irreversible commitment. The Lord has called you to be holy as he is holy. God offers you the undoing of all of the damage and the effects of the curse, of the fall of Adam, all of the miseries of the world that lie upon creation because of sin. God offers you the undoing of that. He has called each of you to put away your sins now and live for him. Live for him alone. Do not any longer serve sin as you have done up till now. Today you give yourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ to be his cherished possession. Your baptism, as you learned in class, your baptism is a washing. By being baptized, you confess that you are polluted with the guilt of sin and that you need to be cleansed from on high. God is giving you that as you pledge to him a good conscience. Your baptism, secondly, is a symbol of death and new life. You declare that you are going to consider yourself now dead to sin and alive unto God. Okay, we are going to bury the natural you, the fallen you in the water, and we are going to raise you up again in the power of the Holy Spirit to present you to God in a new life of obedience. Thirdly, your baptism symbolizes your union with Jesus Christ himself, your unification with Jesus. Now, the scripture says, and all of you here who are baptized, hear what the word of God says. All of us who are baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. We have put on Christ. The scripture says that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We were buried with him. How? The scripture says through baptism. so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. Okay, does that give you an impression of the importance of your baptism? Didn't Jesus instruct his disciples to baptize and be baptized for a good reason? Okay, because in baptism, the believer is buried with Jesus, dies with Jesus. You are joined to him. Okay? Your sin is lifted off of you, and it is accounted as his sin. His death, nailed to that cross, is accounted as your death. Okay? The payment of sin's price is credited to you. Jesus' righteousness is counted as your righteousness. Okay? It's your union with Jesus Christ. You become members of him, members of Christ Jesus, the scripture says, of his flesh and of his bone. I am crucified with Christ. That is what the scripture says. I died when he died. In the mystery of the gospel, I am in him and he is in me. You are in him and he is in you. So let us live holy and not take the members of Christ and join them to sin anymore. Fourthly, your baptism also demonstrates your confidence in your own resurrection to come. Okay, your hope in a bodily resurrection when the Lord comes again. That's what the scripture says. If we've been united like this with him in his death, we will surely also be united with him in his resurrection. Christ came into the world to take away your fear of death. Okay? Leave, if you are afraid of death, leave it behind you in the water. Okay? God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son, and whoever has the Son of God has life. So that's my charge to you for today. Pledge yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism saves you who believe through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Give yourself to him, be joined to him, walk before him, and be blameless in the hope of eternal glory. That's for today. My charge for you with regard to the future, I would call your attention back to Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached that repent and be baptized to the crowd there in Jerusalem. Let me start at Acts 2:40. It says this, with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 were added to them. And they, listen, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Okay, so there you have a little recipe for your Christian life from now on. Acts 2:42. As I said, this is not the end of your journey in the Lord. This is not the finish line. This is the start line. Run the race with perseverance, the Lord says, with steadfastness. Hear it again. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Okay, they gave themselves to it. So you. You must devote yourselves to becoming learners of the way. Okay, all of you disciples, did you hear several things in there? The disciples didn't get baptized and then go off on their own. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and in the fellowship. Teaching is what we do here at First Baptist Church. Okay, we teach the apostles' doctrine. Come to church. Come to Sunday school. Be instructed in the Word of God as often as you can. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night. He shall flourish like a tree planted by streams of water. Root yourself. Be built up in your most holy faith. Make time for the Lord. Clear the way. I speak to you all. Clear your schedule for the one who loved you and who bought you with his blood. Make room for the Lord Jesus, for the teaching of the apostles' doctrine, for the fellowship of the saints, for the breaking of bread, and for prayer. Okay, not just church and Sunday school. We eat together too. And we pray together too. Okay? They continued steadfastly in it. It was high priority in their lives. This is the way, disciples. Walk ye in it. The body of Christ is just that. It is a body made up of many members. They support each other. They teach each other. They encourage each other. They feed each other. No part of the body can exist by itself. What happens when a part of the body is cut off? It dies. It must remain in the body. Be part of the fellowship. It supports you. You support it. That is the will of God for you and you all in Christ Jesus. We need you. You four who are members of the same household, I charge you this as a family. Uphold each other. Reinforce each other. Instruct and encourage each other. Read the Word of God together and alone, and share with each other what you learn. Raise your little guy in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord as you are instructed, so that he may be saved. Make your house a holy place, where Jesus is not just welcome, but where he is master. Okay? Purge your home of things that are unclean and unholy. And any guest who comes will see this is a place where the Lord God is feared and honored. Robert's family, as for you, I charge you likewise. Uphold your son and your brother. Continue to nurture him in the admonition and the love of the Lord. Model godliness for him, holiness, self-control, charity. Robert will grow to be a mighty man of God if you discharge your duty as Christian parents and siblings. Be faithful to this congregation and draw your strength from it. All of you, all five of you, serve the Lord. Find something that your hands can do for the Lord Jesus Christ and do it with all of your might. All men will know you are my disciples, he said, if you have what? Love for one another. Meet the needs of the saints. Give of your time, your talent, your treasures to bring gladness to God. Okay? Do it with all your might, for in serving the Lord there is great reward. You in the congregation, I charge you who love the Lord Jesus, welcome these six into our family. Okay? Invest yourselves in these people. They are our brothers and sisters. They are each being joined today to this congregation. They are all beloved of the Lord. He is giving them to us. Understand? He is giving us to each other to be companions, friends, fellow laborers, travelers together. If you don't know them, get to know them. Okay? Get to know each other. They're not supposed to be strangers. Okay? This is who the Lord is giving you to put your faith into practice. Understand? These are the people that God is going to ask you about at the Bema Seat. You can't escape these people. This is your test. Okay? This is your life until God calls you either to another place or calls you to heaven. As for any of you here who believe in Christ Jesus but haven't been baptized, I say to you what the word says to Saul. Arise and be baptized. What are you waiting for? Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. It's repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Confess Jesus publicly. He said, whoever confesses me before men, him also I will confess before my Father in heaven. Show your belief in Christ. And then as for you out there who have never accepted the message about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then I tell you, he is in fact that one, that only one that God the Father has sent into the world that we can be reconciled to him. He is the judge of the living and the dead. He is the only way to God. God has given eternal life, and this life is in his Son. If you have the Son, you have the life. If you don't, you don't. For you, it's repent and be baptized. And there is good news. I assure you, God will never turn you away if you confess your sins, if you freely receive his Son as your Savior and Lord. Follow the example of these five. Now let's pray, and then we will rejoice and be glad as each of these dear ones confesses their faith in our wonderful Lord. Lord God, may your name be glorified forever. Thank you so much for your wonderful word. Pray indeed that you would seal it to our hearts. Help us to understand and truly know this is the way of salvation. This is what we must do. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have offered us pardon from our sins and immortality so freely. You have suffered all that is required. You have pleased God in our place. And you call us, Lord Jesus, to be holy as you are. Now today, we commit ourselves into your keeping, and we ask you to give us of your Spirit. Give him to us abundantly so that we can be holy, that we can flourish in your blessings, Lord. Praise your name, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.